Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As you've heard a number of times, we are in the beginning of the season of Lent. You may or may not be aware of some of the history of this season, but the season of Lent was not observed in the early days of the Christian movement. In those days, they were persecuted and outcasts, and they had plenty of opportunity to sacrifice things to show and the depth of their faith in Jesus Christ. They were persecuted. But later, when Constantine made Christianity not only legal, but the official religion of the Roman Empire, things began to change. People started to get a little complacent about their faith because now they fit in with everybody else. And they had opportunities to be more concerned about their creature comforts and their material well-being than about their faith. They began to fit in just like everyone else. It became more normal and more ordinary to be a Christian, but to look and act like your neighbor. It became more possible to be devoted to your needs than to the needs of others. It was no longer a time when you were arrested for being publicly Christian. It was no longer a time when you were gathered up and put in prison because you dared to take the sick and dying off the street and take them into your homes and care for them. Being a Christian started to become respectable and normal, and people were really interested in fitting in rather than being the wholly different people of God that Jesus called them to. Shortly after those things started to happen, some very wise people, we don't even know who they were, decided that maybe it was important to call people back to recognize who they are and whose they are and what their Lord Jesus had done for them that makes all the difference, not just in their minds, but also in their hearts and in their actions. And so someone cooked up the idea that since Jesus sacrificed so much for us, maybe we should spend a season, a time, giving up some things to remind us what wonderful gifts our Lord gave us. Set aside maybe a time to observe maybe 40 days. There's a lot of 40 days in the Bible. Jesus himself was tempted for 40 days in the wilderness. So maybe that would be a good time frame for us to set aside to really think about who we are and whose we are. And observe a time to remember Christ's sacrifice through our own sacrifice of creature comforts, of penitence and confession and forgiveness, and remembering, above all, our total dependence on God's grace. 40 days. Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days. The children of Israel were out in the wilderness for 40 years, testing God, learning how to be God's people. Maybe a season of Lent, they called it. Lent was an old-fashioned word for spring. Maybe in the spring, when new life is coming around, we can begin to think about how much our Lord has done for us. Well, centuries have passed since then. The season of Lent has become kind of a normal part of our ebb and flow of the church's calendar. And, you know, those things that we used to do of worshiping more regularly and maybe giving up certain things during that time, you know, those things seem to be kind of anachronistic and old-fashioned, and, you know, we don't really want to do those anymore. Actually, we'd rather, you know, go just straight from Christmas to Easter, from celebration to celebration, and then skip over all this sacrifice stuff. But we are forgetting who we are and whose we are, and above all, how much our Lord sacrificed for us. We may wish to forego this time, these 40 days, this season of Lent, and skip ahead to the joyous celebration of Easter. But if we do that, we might miss a great deal of self-reflection as to who and whose we really are. Every year, on the first Sunday of Lent, we hear the story of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, 40 days tempted by Satan. And you know the story. Jesus is tempted three times, first to turn stones into bread because he was hungry. 40 days is a long time to go without eating. The second was to throw himself down off the pinnacle of the temple in some sort of a spectacular, miraculous show of ability, and then to have the angels form a parachute for him and catch him on the way down. And the third temptation was to bow down and worship the tempter himself, in return to receive all the power and glory of all the kingdoms of the world. It was about those things, but it was primarily about Jesus deciding who he really was. Was he going to fit in with everybody else who has their own personal agendas and motives? Or was he going to be the kind of Messiah, the kind of Savior who would think not of his own needs, but of others? It is interesting. Each of those temptations is a shortcut to cut ahead to the easy answer, the easy way of doing things. Maybe even as Jesus progressed through his ministry, maybe even forego all that cross and suffering stuff and go straight to having all the power of the kingdoms of the world. No, Jesus was tempted to be very human like we are and to take the shortcuts. Henry Nouwen, a noted Roman Catholic writer, once noted that the temptations that Jesus faced are very much like the ones we face, and they're the temptation to be relevant, to matter, to be spectacular, to be amazing or good at something, and to be powerful. That those three temptations are ones that Jesus faced, but also the ones that we face. And it's interesting, we are relevant, even if others don't think we are, that we matter. We matter to God. And we are spectacular, even though we may not recognize it. We are spectacular. We are wonderfully made. Each of us is a total individual, and God knows us by name, knows the hairs on our heads. That's harder for some than for others. God knows who we are, that we are spectacular, and we each have a measure of power. We may not think so, but we all have influence. We're able to get things done. Those are all natural human desires. Jesus faced them, so do we. So what's the difference? The what you choose and how you choose to move forward is the key. I used to tell my kids, now they're grown and they ignore me all the time, but now I'll tell my grandkids that every choice you make, whether it's large or small, opens a door or closes a door. It may open an opportunity for you in the future, or it may close opportunities that you might have had. Either way, the more choices you make, the more doors that open or close ahead of you until finally your path forward is set and things were not so easy to change anymore. C.S. Lewis described it a little differently. He said that every choice we make changes a little bit within us so that finally there are no choices left. We're set on a path that's inevitable. Jesus was making decisions, making choices here, and he chose to say no to those very human desires that we all face. He said no. Now, it's interesting that the things that he was saying no to, he did later in his own ministry. He did feed the hungry. He did, you know, could have turned stones into bread. He provided for 4,000 and 5,000 people's food at a time. And he did do miracles and healings and spectacular events. He did do those very frequently. And he did have immense political and social power that extends even to our day. He spoke truth to power, and it got him killed. So what was the difference? Why did he say no to these things? Well, the context matters. Jesus understood that taking shortcuts is not the way that God called him to go. Taking a shortcut and avoiding suffering, avoiding sacrifice, was not the way that he was called to go. That's not who he was. That's not whose he was. Nor was he to take advantage of his relationship with God as God's son to make it easy on himself. Nor was he called to forget who he was and whose he was. Put it simply, Jesus went into the wilderness to get his head straight, to think through his motives, so that when he had an opportunity to feed people and heal people and speak truth to political power, he would be clear as to what he was going to do and why he was doing it, just like us. Now, to be sure, resisting temptation is hard work. It's difficult because it involves taking a hard look at our deeper motivations and asking if the choices we make are in alignment with our commitment to Jesus Christ. It's hard because, as you know, we're like taffy. Have you ever seen taffy being made? It is pulled and stretched in so many different directions that eventually it doesn't look the same anymore. Well, that's exactly what's going on with us. We are stretched so thin, meeting the expectations of the people around us, expectations of family and friends and employers and fellow church members' expectations, maybe even our own expectations. Those things pull at us and stretch us so thin that we're to the point of breaking. And we sometimes then get diverted to meaningless pursuits and poor choices, instead of being true to who we are and whose we are. So, to sort that out, we know must take some time and effort. It must be intentional. And maybe that's why the church came up with this season we call Lent, a time to be intentional about looking at our motives and our choices and our priorities and see if they're in alignment with who we are and whose we are, just as Jesus did. A time to sort through our motives, our choices, and even our shortcomings, to see where the Holy Spirit is leading us, to see what might need to change in our priorities. That's the tradition that we call Lent. Now, for many, it's giving up something as a reminder of Christ's sacrifice for us. He gave up his very life so that we might have life. And so we give up certain things to remind ourselves of that. Maybe it's meatless Fridays, or social media, give that up, or give up chocolate for 40 days, or give up caffeine. No, forget that. Give up certain things that, you know, are a part of your life as a reminder of what Christ gave for you. Some others think of adding things. What can you add to your choices during this period of time? What can you do to be a better follower of Christ? Can we add some things to our menu of actions? The one small thing challenge that we're talking about is along that line. What can we do that are small things but can add up to make a difference in our work as a church, as our individual lives, as followers of Jesus? What can we do? I kind of listened in on Pope Francis's Ash Wednesday sermon online. I don't know if anybody checked that out. But he suggested that something that we should give up for Lent would be criticism of others and gossip. And I loved his solution. He said, now the things you can do, fill your mouth with praise and gratitude, and you won't have any room to be critical and gossip. Fill your mouth, fill your heart with gratitude and praise and prayer. Those are just some thoughts of what we can add to our Lenten discipline so that we can keep our priorities straight to be better followers of Christ. And then come Easter to really celebrate what a wonderful gift we've been given as we learn little by little, better and better, to follow Christ, grow in faith, and share God's love. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.